On the line with us now is Sue Wanzer, a regular Thursday guest here on the Glass in the Morning show. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning. How are you two?
Good. We've got a school board meeting on Tuesday, and one of the things that's going to be considered, because school is so imminent, is we had some principal vacancies.
Well, exactly, Keith, and Tuesday isn't our regular time for a school board meeting, so it's a special session, and of course, it has to be done so that the superintendent can recommend any new hires for administrators as well as teachers. And we want to get that done as soon as possible so that we have people in place when we start school. And to me, Keith, you probably think the same way. To me, it's amazing the work that goes in the summer.
Oh, yeah.
To do the hiring, to get a committee together of teachers in the school and parents to screen all the applications and then set times to interview the candidates and then send those folks on to the superintendent and her cabinet for interviews. So there's many steps in it, but we have a lot of people involved, and it's just amazing to me that everything gets done so quickly.
Well, and these people need some time to, you know, find out where this is in their building and get their desk organized and everything, because there's precious little time left till the start of school.
Right. I believe building principals start on July 20th, mm-hmm. and then teachers go back on the 30th. So you're right. We want, you know, and especially with a new principal going into a building,
right.
they want a chance to, you know, to get to know the staff and start developing that team in a building too.
What you were talking about earlier, I was at a meeting last night at Bloomington North, and of course the school is spick and span and looks great, but it struck me as I was walking the hallways. And try this one on you. Remember when you first got back, you could smell the newly waxed floors?
Yeah.
I could smell the wax in the hallway. I mean, it was like, this is so neat. It's just, it looks great. They're ready. And the students are going to go back into a great environment. So they've spent a lot of time getting the schools ready this summer.
And I think, Keith, tell me if I'm correct or not, that the way that we do it now with Superintendent DeMuth, they take teams of people from all the schools.
Right.
And they go school to school to school to do a really, really good
in-depth
job at deep cleaning.
That's right.
Everything.
Yeah.
So instead of just having a few people at every school, big teams are sent in so that we get the schools the way that we want them for when our faculty and our kids come back to school.
Last night I was watching the ESPY Awards, and I thought about you because I know where you have a deep passion about this. And Caitlyn Jenner was talking about the transgendered students, and we've had some students come and talk to us about the same issues. And he was talking about bullying and things like that, and we're dealing with that as a school board, too, and I know you have some feelings about that.
Well, you know, Keith, yeah, there was an article in the paper yesterday about the numbers of schools that don't have specifically GLBT listed in anti-bullying. Now, when we redid our anti-bullying, we did it according to what state standards were, and it's all-inclusive. It doesn't mention any category or anyone, but our non-discrimination policy sure does mention sexual orientation, and I think we're trying to be really responsive, and not just responsive, but proactive, too, in making sure that every single kid feels safe in our schools, no matter who that might be, no matter what their needs might be. Whether it's a student with a disability or a student who might have a different kind of learning style or different culture or sexual orientation. And I know that Judy's going to be meeting with the organization called PRISM, or at least their director, to talk about some things that we can do to help our teachers, because I truly, truly believe none of our teachers or our staff really want to be or try to be
insensitive.
Negative, yeah, or mm-hmm. they just are never sure. A lot of people aren't quite sure what to say. And I found that out when I worked years ago at Ball State in disability services. A lot of people don't want to talk about disability because they're afraid they're going to say the wrong thing. I think that happens in all kinds of cultural competency kinds of things. People are afraid of saying the wrong thing. I would much rather people just let's talk and have the conversation and then figure out what are better ways to say it. So I know that Judy wants to really look at that issue and how we help our staff feel more comfortable with the issue.
Well, and I don't think there's a member of the school board and anybody in our school system that ever wants a student to come into our building and not feel that somewhere in that building there's an ally, that there's someone there they can go to and talk to about whatever the issues are that they may be having.
Keith, I think that's so important. You know, that's why people get into teaching. I mean, certainly they don't do it for the big bucks. They do it because of their love of kids and transmitting knowledge and helping nurture and help kids develop and grow. And you only do that through those contacts and those connections. So, yeah, I believe, too, that all of our teachers want to do the best they can, and that's why they're always willing to engage in new kinds of training, because no matter how much of it any one of us goes through, any kind of cultural competency training, we always learn something new, or we learn something from somebody else, or somebody learns something from us.
Right.
So I think it's, yeah, I'm real pleased at the direction that we're taking.
Sue, I want to throw you a little bit of a curveball here, because
it
occurs to me that I was reading this story yesterday, and to be honest with you, I'm a little ticked about this, and I know this will set you off a little bit too, but I see that there's a shortage of teachers.
Okay.
Now, why in the world would there be a shortage of teachers? Because it's such a noble profession. And, you know, when I read that story and then I realize politicians and people who are not educators coming up with all of these things that make teachers have to jump through hoops, some kids don't want to be teachers anymore. And
well,
it's a problem, Sue.
Well, and you're right. You did push my button there, and I agree with you. Teachers have been blamed for so many things that are happening in education, which really have nothing to do with teachers. Whether it's the testing environment, whether it's how we're grading schools. You know, it's funny, Keith. Well, it's not funny. It's really sad. On Facebook, periodically, there'll be things about public education or the importance of funding. And then I see people say, yeah, funding's important, but the schools aren't teaching effectively. Wait, people say that without knowing that. They've heard that from people, that public education is failing. And I will challenge anyone at any time, if they want to, I know you would, I would, anyone would take them through our schools, and they can see how effective we are. It's false, and it's misleading to say that public education is failing. And when you say that and make it difficult for teachers and then blame teachers, well, yeah, I guess I wouldn't want to be a teacher either.
Well, and schools of education are having drops in enrollment. When you look around and you say all of the hoops that teachers have to go through, and yeah, I don't know, it really bothers me. My degree's in education, and it
right.
bothers me because you know, it's like we want to blame the teachers for everything, and a lot of the blame is thrust upon teachers because of politicians in Washington, D.C. and Indianapolis who think they know more about how to educate people than the people that are doing it on a daily basis.
Right, and they're the ones who are setting the standards for measuring, for assessing, for judging, and then if something doesn't meet what they think, just remember when I think it was the teacher evaluation that came out from the state, and the new teacher evaluation, and it turned out that so many teachers were rated highly. Well, then the legislature decided there must be something wrong with this, because certainly teachers aren't going to be rated so highly. So it doesn't matter what they put out there, there's still a perception that there's something wrong with public education, and I still believe a whole lot of it has to do, and I think you might too, with money and who is financing and who is making money off of private education and virtual education and charter schools and everything else that go into that.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about that. While we're talking about that, Ron Jensen,
yes.
now kind of for the Bloomington Rotary Clubs, runs the Teachers Warehouse program. And a lot of changes there, but the one that excites me more than anything else, because they're getting ready to open up again for the new school year, is they have an agreement. you can actually go online. And we're going to have Ron on tomorrow to talk to us. And you can go online. You can shop online. It's like going to an office equipment place. And you can see the erasers. You can see the safety scissors. You can see the glue sticks and all of this stuff and the prices. And you can order all this, put it in a shopping cart, check out, pay for it, and then it's delivered to Teacher's Warehouse. You don't have to do anything.
Oh, wow.
Just go online, pick it, or better yet, you can send a check over to Teacher's Warehouse, and they'll buy the stuff and get it out there for the kids. But I know you wanted to mention something about Teacher's Warehouse, and I do too, because it's an amazing program.
Well, it is. And, you know, and this is one of those really neat things about Bloomington. This was a Rotary project. It's a real grassroots. It rose from the ground up as a small project and has now become so important for so many of our teachers and so many of our schools. And they get, you know, I've talked to some people who volunteer there. I mean, they have, I mean, to do this kind of work, they really do need lots of volunteers, and there are people who are so dedicated to this to help out the teachers. I think it's wonderful.
Well, and the neat thing, too, is our teachers are resourceful.
Yes.
And it strikes me. I've seen things like fabric shops that have a piece of cloth left over that you can't really do much with it. They send those scraps over to Teacher's Warehouse. There's a teacher that'll come in there, and it'll become an art project in their classroom. And it's amazing what they can do with things. Offices, I know a lot of offices are now digitizing a lot of their paperwork. So they have three-ring binders that they put in the garbage. No, there are teachers that can use three-ring binders. A few years ago, one of the medical companies in our area had little bitty glass vials.
And, I remember that.
Thousands of them ended up at Teacher's Warehouse. There were teachers who put colored sand in those bottles, decorative things. Kids loved it. I mean, it's just, it's absolutely amazing how resourceful our teachers are. And then I talked to Kurt Christian yesterday from the HT. They're doing a story on this. I think it'll be in tomorrow. And one of the issues was, you know, teachers and teachers spending money out of their own pocket. I think a number I've heard, and it's probably more than that now, the average classroom teacher spends about $500 out of their own pocket for classroom supplies and supplies for kids that don't have something that other kids in the classroom have. And yeah, there is an Indiana tax credit, but, you know, it doesn't near pay for what the teachers are doing. So that's why it's important.
Well, and just based on principle, Keith, and just based on what is right, we should, no teacher should ever have to go out and purchase the things for the classroom. Now, I do know there are a couple different places, especially for kids who don't have school supplies, so that the teachers don't necessarily have to do it. There's an article in the paper that folks, parents, guardians, family members can call the individual schools, and the social workers can help arrange if somebody's having, if somebody isn't able to get those school supplies. So certainly we want every kid to be able to come to school with what they need, and we certainly don't want our teachers to have to fund that. There's just something that seems just not right about that at
all. Well, and our hats are off to churches, the Salvation Army, and groups in the community who make sure kids have backpacks and supplies and things like that. One of Kurt Christian's comments to me was, yeah, and then parents still get this list from their school of things that their students need to bring with them for supplies. What about all that? So, you know, glue sticks and paper and even tissue. Kleenex, I call it. So,
yeah, and that's funny because I was having a conversation with the teacher about the Kleenex that that every kid brings a box of Kleenex for their class for people to share throughout their year. And again, if a kid isn't able to do that, we have some resources to help those kids so they don't have to feel that they're coming to school with nothing.
Well, and you can go online to your school, and there'll be a list of the supplies, and it varies by grade, you know, and you get into the upper grades. And I saw something yesterday about a, I don't know what I'm talking about, a graphing calculator for algebra. I don't even know what that is.
I don't either.
You know, and some places, earphones, and then as a kid get a little older, you could use earbuds. And I think part of that is that now we have all these iPads out there, and they have sound on them. You don't want a bunch of kids all listening to something different and have that cacophony going on in a classroom.
Right, but But I do think with Teachers Warehouse and with our social workers, with organizations like our Foundation of Monroe County Schools,
right,
and as you said, the churches and Salvation Army and Crestmont, you know, this community really does roll
right
out to support our kids and our teachers, which is just really encouraging.
Well, if anyone has any questions, they can call the administration building of the MCCSC about supplies or anything else. How do you get your kid enrolled? What school does your kid go to? What do we need? When does it start? All of those things. You can call the MCCSC, or you can go online to check out any school in your area at mccsc.edu, and the schools are all listed there.
Right, and we're getting close, aren't we, Keith?
Oh, yes. The 3rd, yeah. August 3rd.
Ian,
Sue, go ahead.
I just want to say one quick thing. We need bus drivers still.
Oh, yes. We talked to Gib on Tuesday, Gib Nicewander.
Yeah.
We need bus drivers. And we're not the only ones. All school corporations.
No, everybody does. I was talking to John Carter, our director of planning, the other day, and they have a number of people who work as mechanics and in other positions, including John, who are going
right
to the training, so they
right
can fill in if they need to.
Well, and if you are interested, we pay drivers to get trained to get to the point of being bus drivers
right
for the MCCSC.
Right.
Sue,
so,
thank you very much. We've been talking with Sue Wanzer of the MCCSC. Thank you for checking in with us today.